you for that. That's tremendous. I appreciate the ladies coming in today to sing for us. And thank you for joining us. I will reference the interactive part of the service is now over, okay? The Mother's Day texts are all in. And so let's settle in here this morning as we get into the message, as we are going to give a thought about mothers. I heard a story about Nikita Khrushchev. He was the former leader of the Soviet Union during the Cold War. He was a very harsh critic of Stalin. Stalin was a very evil communist leader. He killed millions of his own people. They was at a council meeting, and Khrushchev was at a council meeting. He was chewing out the council for not standing up to Stalin when he was alive, for all of his atrocities. And he was just going on, and he was waxing eloquent. As he was up there, someone anonymously passed him a note. He opened the note, and he looked at it, and the note said this: "What were you doing during those days? What were you doing about it?" He didn't read it out loud, but he folded it, and he goes, "Who wrote this note?" He goes, "If you wrote this note that was just sent up to me, stand up." And no one stood up. Finally, he looked at him and said, "You know what? I'll tell you what I was doing when Stalin was doing all those atrocities. I was doing the same thing that you guys were doing. Nothing. Nothing." We're going to see this morning somebody who did something. You see, our world needs people who are willing to stand up for principles and for truth and for what's right. Now, inevitably, when we hear that, we think of rudeness and meanness, and that's not what we're talking about. But the fact of the matter is, we have to be willing to stand up for truth and right. But I'll tell you where that starts. That starts in the home. The book of Judges is a book about people who stood up against enemies and the crimes these enemies were committing against Israel. Of all Israel's enemies up to this time, there was none so powerful as King Jabin and his general Sisera. They had dominated Israel for 2 decades. They boasted of 900 iron chariots, which at that time was a huge advantage. They had a huge army. In contrast, Israel had 0 chariots and could only field 10,000 soldiers. The book of Judges shows us what happens when there is no leadership, no spiritual leadership. For the most part, after Joshua passes off the scene, there are those men that were around him at the time he was alive, and then those pass off the scene, and Israel goes into darkness. That's what the whole book of Judges is. It's just a series of stories of Israel disobeying their God, buying into false gods, God allowing judgment primarily through the neighboring nations that would come in and afflict them. And then they would cry to God, and God would raise up a leader that would give them that would give them victory, and they would turn to God, and then they do the whole same thing over and over. It was a never-ending good to bad situation. The misery would come. We think of others in this book that God lifted up. Samson. Samson was a one-man army. He didn't need an army. Gideon, who was very sheepish and shy, and "What are you calling me?" And God used him. And there's others that God used. But today we're going to see an unusual one, Deborah. She's a woman. She's a lady. God is going to use her to motivate them through Balak to stand up, trust God, and get victory over a strong army. She brings God's plan to Balak, and she tells him that it's time for you to go fight against Sisera, that God will give you the enemy. He says to her, If I'll go, but you got to come with me. Now, we look at that and we would think of Balak as a bit of a sissy for having to have her go until you read Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. Is this not working? Well, thank you for coming. Were we hearing anything I was saying? Good, thank you. That one, I burned it out, so pray for me. But he is mentioned, Balak is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith. So he was a strong man and gained a great victory. It's interesting, Deborah states that in this victory that he gets, that he will not necessarily get the glory, the victory will come to them from a woman. Now, that's not talking about Deborah necessarily. It's talking about a lady named Jael. And if you read the rest of the story, Israel gets the victory and they're slaughtering the enemy, and Sisera gets away, and Jael's like, hey, come over here. You can hide in my tent. And he was very tired and weary from fighting all day and running all day. And she says, he asked for water. She says, oh, she gives him some milk, and he lays down, and he is so physically exhausted, he passes out, and she very kindly grabs a hammer and a tent nail and drives it through his temple and kills him. The victory came through a lady. But what I want to focus on, by the way, let me say this. I appreciate JL's zeal for God, but she is not a lady I would have ever wanted to be married to, okay? If I did, I would put all the knives and the hammers away, so I just thought I'd throw that out. But I want to focus today on Deborah, an unusual leader, a lady, a motivator. I want to specifically see what is said in the verse we read in chapter 5. Verse 7, it says, the inhabitants of the village see. She's talking about a time when it was even dangerous just to travel. And things were bad. And she says, until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. You know what she was? She was a mother who was willing to stand up. You know what we need in our homes? We need ladies that will stand up. I'm thankful for our church, and I'm thankful for our ladies who are spiritual enough to make a spiritual difference in their families. Mom, you have great influence. It's amazing. You do all the things in the household that need to be done. You know the little adage, a mother's work is never done. You do the laundry, cleaning, you organize the home, you do the shopping. And husbands, I know you help in whatever ways, and you should try to help. And as the kids get older, they try to help. But man, moms do a lot. But can I just share this with you this morning very kindly? More than anything else you can do for your family in serving them, they need a mother that is willing to stand for them and do the right thing. As we look at Deborah here, I want to see several ways that she stood that mothers should stand for their families. First, I would say she stood for God. In Judges chapter 4, verse 4, she was a prophetess. Deborah is unusual that she is the only woman judge there. All the rest of the judges were men. You say, well, why did he, in this instance, choose Deborah to be the motivator? I don't know. But I do know this, she was spiritual. She heard from God. She was willing to take what she heard from God and give it to those that needed it. And when it came time, at a very dark time in their history right there, she was willing to make a difference and stand. Do you know the most important thing that you can do as a mother and as a lady is to be spiritual? You say, well, I'm smart, and I'm glad if you're smart. You can be beautiful, and I'm sure your husband is glad that you're beautiful. You can be a hard worker. By the way, a mother's work is never done. You can be anything. You just name it. But I would say this. If you have all those things in order and you're not spiritual, You're not being the mom that God really wants you to be and that your family needs you to be. It's Mother's Day. But let me say this, even though it's Mother's Day, let me take a little two-minute diversion. I know it's Mother's Day, but dads, you need to be spiritual too. I tire in our society of those that think spirituality is for moms. Amen. Dads, be spiritual. Don't let your wives lap you. You be the one. And by the way, that's not masculinity. You say, why are you getting on us today? I'm not. I'm just trying to encourage you today. And when Father's Day comes, I'll preach something nice to you. Okay? And I'm not being mean here. But I think in our society, we've kind of inbred it that dad just goes and plays. He's on his video games. He does the things he does. Mom's the one who's faithful to the church. He shows up whenever he has the time. Listen, back your family. They need you. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Spirituality is not just for women. It's for men. So let's get past that. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Be all the things that you can be, ladies. Be a lady. Look your best. Do all those things that ladies do. All the things that, I get it, but let's not neglect spirituality. Let's be spiritual. Your family needs you to be spiritual. So she stood for God. Next, she stood for family. The Bible says in verse 6, she was a mother in Israel. And in Judges chapter 4, it mentions her being a prophetess, and then it says the wife of Lapidoth. So she was married and probably had children. She did have a family. Let's stand for our family. I don't think she was too busy where she neglected her family. And by the way, I'm not for anybody neglecting their family, mother or dad. Sometimes we think, Dad, the children are mom's responsibility. And I feel for you, moms, because it gets dumped on you a lot, and there's a lot of things you just naturally do, and you're better than us, but the men, we need to help too, but we need to stand for our family. Our society is fighting to destroy our family. Nutcases at, was it Harvard? Professor that said it's bad that the parents are teaching the children. Parents should not have influence over their children 24 hours of a day. Listen, lady, I forgot your name who said that. You're nuts. And you don't speak for anybody but your own rotten mind. Say, how do you feel about that? I think you just caught it. Those kids belong to their family, not you. Go ruin your own life. But let's take care of our families. I'm trying to be so nice here this morning. But our ladies don't believe that. There's a new morality. They're trying to creep it into our families. The media blasts the families. I don't watch the primetime garbage, but I guarantee you they're not making the families look like they should look. They're trying to redefine what the family is and criticizing a family where there's a mom, there's a dad, and there's children. Let me just tell you something. That's how you build a good family in a society. Mom, dad, children, all together on the same page. Don't listen to the garbage out. You know what the sad thing of Christianity, the reason we're in such a mess is we are following what's being thrown out to us by our government leaders and primarily the media. That's not biblical. Our school systems, our entertainment, everything is anti-family. They're trying to redefine it. And by the way, what are the results telling us? We're an enlightened society now. We know better how families should work. How come things are worse now and not better? Could it be if we would just get back to what the Bible says, things would be better? I think it would. I think if we criticize how it used to be back in the days when mom and dad were on the same page. Listen, it worked. It wasn't until we got rid of God that problems are coming. You look, and I know the leftist media doesn't want to hear this, but look at the statistics. When there's a mom and a dad working together in a family, those families just do better. Let's stand for our family. Don't just let them do mindlessly what they want to do. Don't be so disattached from your family, you have no clue what those little ones are watching. Throw an iPad at them and say, go do what you want. Mom, and just work together with, mom and dads need to work together, not against one another. Let's stand for our family. And by the way, ladies in our church, I know you do. That's why we have a lot of good families and kids in our church, because you're doing this. I'm just going to encourage you, don't pay attention to what's going on out there. Do it. Stand for your family. She stood for her community. Judges chapter 4, she's under the palm tree of Deborah, and people are coming to her for judgment. She's helping them. And then things got so bad, as we saw in Judges 5, that's her song of praise, but she talks about how things were bad, and she stood. She knew what was going on in the community, and she wanted to make a difference. She wanted to make a difference in people's lives. She didn't just care about her nation just because she was Jewish. I think she cared because she cared for the people of her nation. Now, I don't think we need to know everything that's going on politically. I mean, 24 hours a day. I think we need to know what's going on in our country. I think too many of us stuck our head in the sand. But there has to be a balance. I want to know what's going on because I need to know how we need to respond. But on the other hand, I want to help people in the community get the truth. You see, sometimes we have this thing where it's just, you know, us four and no more. You know, just our family. And your family is number one. God should be first, your family second. But can I just tell you something? We need to be, you need to give your family an example that you care about others also. And so many of you do. You come, you serve in ministry, you're willing to do things for the Lord. By the way, that is a great example. I don't like to, a lot of times, because I stand behind here, you know, always praise my family members or somebody or whatever. I don't like to do that, because if you could come up here, you could praise her too. But I got to say something. My wife is the most selfless person I know. She is. I have never had to tell my wife, are you going to serve God? I got to kind of put the collar on and say, hey, you need to back up a little bit. Our kids could never get up, ever, and say, my mom wasn't serious about helping other people. She cares about other people. And we have all kinds of people like that in our church. Serving on bus routes, serving in ministry. Listen, let's care about our community. We never should be too busy to go soul winning. Never should be, look, your children ought to see you coming out. Bring them with you. Let's stand for our community. I love Long Beach. I was born here, literally 10 blocks from the church. I don't even think you can get born there anymore. I think that's where they put people that might have some emotional issues now. But that's where I was born. Maybe that's why I was born there. Okay? I've been here. I've lived in this city except for 6 years of my life. I love Long Beach. I don't like the way sin has kind of overtaken our city, but that's why we're here. So let's stand for our community, people. She stood for the truth. Judges chapter 4 and verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, and out of that city right there, Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go towards Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. She had no problem going to Balak and saying, here's what you need to do. Why? Because God commanded that. She said, this is what he asked us to do. This is what I'm going to do. She didn't go with him and say, someone's got to do something. Let's just step up. Although there maybe would have been nothing wrong with that. But God had specifically communicated truth to her that she communicated to him. And she was willing to stand for that truth. And let me just say this. We are going to have a hard time being committed to standing in God's truth if we are not daily in God's truth. This world doesn't just need good moms, although that's a great start. And dads too. They need moms who are spiritual and have confidence in God's word, and they know what God's word says. I appreciate you being faithful to church, but just let me tell you something. You're not going to get everything you need just from the services. You see, as we're reading God's word faithfully and God speaking to us and we come to church, it all just starts to fit together seamlessly. But you cannot stand for something you do not know. Could it be that we make the bad decisions sometimes because we don't understand the truth of God, so we don't know what to follow, and we're easily influenced by those who throw things at us that sound like good ideas but are opposed to God's word? Could that not be the problem? Everything around us is pushing from a different direction than the word of God. Let's make sure that we stand for the truth and we're a part of the truth. And then she stood for obedience. In Judges chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, she tells Balak what's going to happen. You go there, God's going to draw them out, and you're going to win. Verse 8, and Barak said to her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. And then she tells him that the victory is going to be attributed to a lady. But I like this. She said, you need to go win that battle. He goes, I ain't going unless you come with me. And she goes, I'll go. You know why? She totally believed what God said. She wasn't going to be in harm's way. There's no way. Because she heard God say, this is what's going to happen. And she was willing to obey and follow and put what we may have thought her life on the line. But she says, I'm in. I'm going to follow and I'm going to obey God's will. Her belief in God's will was so strong, she willingly went along for the battle. In her mind, she had nothing to fear because God had already told what was going to happen. Why do we struggle why do we struggle following God's will? Because we want to follow our own way. And if we don't know the truth, we will follow our own way. There is just something that in us that struggles to be committed to God's will. But a woman that is standing and willing to stand will be obedient. They will want to follow God's will. And key is this too. That we'll want our children to follow God's will. Too many of us want to be Christians, but we want to kind of plug our children in what we think will be best, where they'll be successful by the world standards. Well, I want them to do this because they got to make money. They got to do this. They got to do that. And I'm not against people making money. Kind of hard to tithe if you don't make money. But if that's the goal in life, that's not a godly goal. Here's the goal in life. God, what do you want for my children? I think of Hannah. Hannah not having children, and it killed her. It bothered her so much. And she finally got a child. She finally was able to conceive and have a child. And you know what she did? She gave him to the Lord, took him down to Eli to train for God. That's not my child. God gave him to me. And I want him to follow God's will. I hope that's the goal for our life. If we believe in the scriptures, then why in the world would we not want to follow God's will? Because it's just the best thing that's for us. The two principles we ought to live by is if God says it, I'm obeying it. And if God wants it, I'm following it. She stood for victory. Judges chapter 4, verse 14. And Deborah said to Barak, up, this is the day which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men went after him. You know, I like the way she talks. She talks in past tense. Like, victory's already yours. She just believed God so much that God was going to come through. That's confidence in God. God needs us to see, our family needs us to see confidence in God. Sometimes we struggle with everything that's going on around us, and you know, that family of yours looks to you to see how you respond. And if we're responding okay, everything is okay. If we don't have confidence in God, oh, what's going to happen? And oh, no, all this. Confidence. You know, I was raised in a single family home by my mom. You know, we weren't poor. We weren't rich. My mom made sure we did not go without. But I can remember, and my mom was a bit of a nervous type, but you know, I can't remember a time feeling uneasy about life because my mom was freaking out. She made sure that we were taken care of. Isn't that the kind of example we want to set? And then she stood for the faith. She stood from the faith. You read through that whole chapter number 5, we won't for sake of time, there's some verses there. She just had a song of victory. It's her praise to God, giving God the praise for everything that happened. Don't give up because things come your way that tend to shake your faith. Let's stand for the faith. Let's just be rock solid. She could have looked around like everybody else that was there, like, oh well, we're under these guys and there's nothing we can do about it. And you know, it's been 20 years. What can we do about it? She was willing to say, I'm gonna be solid in the faith. And when God said it's time to go, she was ready to go. I've seen too many Christians leave churches, go a different direction simply because their families start to struggle. Their kids start to struggle, and so they give in. I would say this, if faith is right when everything is going right, faith is still right if things start to go a different direction. If faith is right when my family's doing good, then faith is my right, is still right when the family starts to struggle a little. Say, but I've had a, here's what happens sometimes. I've had a child that's struggling, so we start to, well, I'm going to pander to them, and after all, it must be the church's fault. Well, it's funny. There's other kids that are doing well, and they were raised in the exact same situation. By the way, going to our church and going to our Christian school didn't hurt my children one bit. At all. In any capacity. Your children perfect? No way. Why? Probably because I'm their father. They're children just like yours. But you know what? They can work. They can do the things they're supposed to be doing. And so what happens is we back off of that, and we're not giving our children anything to come back to when they're going to need it. We're putting ourselves in a bad situation. Let's just stand for the faith because we believe it. If we believe the Bible and we believe what's right, why don't we just stand for it regardless of what's going on around us? You know what our country needs? It needs all of us, but it's Mother's Day. We need Deborahs. I arose a mother in Israel. We need mothers that will stand. They'll stand for their children. They'll stand in their marriages. It's not what's going on now. People don't want to get married anymore. They want to wait till they're 105. They don't want to have children. Children are irritation. Let me say this. If the quarantine has taught me anything, they are. I love my grandkids, and they're over all the time. But kids are kids. They do goofy things. They smell funny. And they require a lot of effort and energy. But can I just tell you something? It is more than worth it. You mothers know that. So I said, everything about me is mine. It's my body, my rights, my this. No, it's God's body, God's rights. A real Christian lady is this. She's a godless woman. She's a godly, godless. Most are. No, kidding. Let me rephrase that. Back up. Strike that from the records, okay? I need a judge here. She's a godly woman with a great spirit that stands for things that are right. She loves God. She loves her family. She loves others. She knows what's right to do, and she does it. Can I just tell you something? If you do that, I don't care what the world says out there. I don't. That's success. And we have a church full of ladies that are like that. And so my encouragement to you today isn't as much a condemnation. It's not what I meant, what I mean. Mine is an encouragement. Keep standing. Let's keep standing. You make a huge difference. Yes, we are thankful that you clean up our mess. Let's not make mess. Yeah, I'm thankful for everything that mothers do. And you do more than that little video even showed. But let's make sure that, let's not just settle for that. Let's stand for God and what's right. And we'll make a huge difference in our children. Oh, I don't think they're listening. Give it some time. Give it some time. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you this morning. We are so glad for moms. I don't know where we would be without them. And Lord, I'm thankful for the multitude of families in our church that have godly moms that love you. None of us are perfect, Lord. We all know that. But we can stand for what's right. And they do. We can stand for our families, and we do in our communities. We have a lot of Deborahs in our church, and I pray that you'd bless mothers today. Thank you for all that they do. Give them a great day. But God, help them to continue, as all of us, really, not just them, men too, that we would stay close to you and just stand for the things that really matter in life. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.